Welcome to the Simply Authentic podcast, where we hope to inspire you to dream bigger, empower you to take charge of your own life, and challenge you to be your most authentic self. Authentic podcast. I'm Tanya Murfin.
And I'm Angie Mullings. And we have guests, plural, in our studio today. We are very excited to have Dr. Granita Lathan. She is the superintendent of Springfield Public Schools. And we also have with us Danielle Kincaid, who is the president of the board for the Springfield Public Schools.
Yes. So welcome, ladies.
Thank you.
We're so glad you're here.
Thank you.
We're going to have a lively conversation. And let's start out by you introducing yourselves, what you do for a living, and how you got to come to Springfield, Dr. Lathan.
All right. Hi. So once again, Granita Lathan, superintendent for Springfield Public Schools. I'm in my third year as a superintendent here in Springfield. I was recruited, actually, 3 years ago to apply for the open superintendent position here in Springfield. And it was a wonderful experience getting to know the board and getting to know the community. And so I made that decision to accept the job here in Springfield.
Awesome. And where did you come from?
From Houston, Texas.
Oh, okay. All right. Danielle?
Yes, thank you for having us today. We're very excited about this conversation.
Yes.
So yeah, I currently serve as president on the Springfield Public School Board of Education. Mm-hmm. And then in my other life, I practice law. I do estate planning, and I know that we've talked about that before.
Yes.
I have the Elder Law Group, which is over off Republic Road.
Yeah, one of our top five podcasts from last year.
Mm-hmm.
So
there we go.
Yeah, everybody wants to know what happens to our estate and how do we make that happen. So
exactly.
Yeah, it's a great conversation.
Yeah.
So we, Tanya and I, had the great experience of getting to do a program that you all offer with Principal for a Day. Mm-hmm. And so we just want to kind of start there and talk about what our experience was. And hopefully that'll lead us into some other conversation, because I think it was eye-opening for both of us. Mm-hmm. I was at Carver Middle School. And where were you?
I was at Harrison Elementary.
Okay.
Yeah.
So just seeing what it's been a long time since I was in middle school, right? So, and things have changed immensely. But walking in and seeing what all the principal was having to deal with that day in terms of substitutions and just things that you deal with, right? Things that businesses deal with too. We, as business owners, are having to wear a lot of different hats. And that's what I saw that principal doing right away. I'll tell you the one thing that really impressed me the most was the culture within the building. So she said she had around 700 students, a staff of around 70. Does that sound about mm-hmm. right, maybe? And just everyone was friendly. And we stood out in the hall as during the breaks, you know, when they were going from class to class, and just, smile, how are you today? You know, we're glad you're here. I heard that so many times. We're glad you're here. And I'm pretty sure my middle school, nobody said, I'm glad to see you today, Angie. So that's something that's really changed. But so just the culture of friendliness and telling someone that you're happy that they're there. And most of the kids all had a smile on their face. Mm-hmm. Even they were middle schoolers and they still had a smile on their face.
Yeah.
So that's probably what impressed me the most was the culture within the building. So do you, at the superintendent level, do you do that kind of training with your principals? Do you have one-on-one or training in a group? And do you talk about culture? Is that something that is readily talked about?
Yes, we definitely do. And so, number one, thank you all for participating.
Mm-hmm.
So the outcomes that you mentioned and the things that you observed was one of the reasons I wanted us to host Principal for a Day. We actually hosted it last fall in October, had 55 visits, community leaders on our campuses, again this past February. But we do focus on culture. And you, as you said, we share it with students. We are glad that you're here. We want mm-hmm. students to know that they belong at their school. We want them there. We want them to feel welcome, because then, you know what, the anxiety around being in school and all the things they have to focus on throughout the course of a school day, they know that they have caring adults there to help them and assist them. So that's important. And
mm-hmm.
we do focus on that.
Yeah.
I bet you experienced the pride that the students and the teachers take in their school. And that's true at every single school building.
Yeah.
Every single principal that I've met with says, we've got the best school here. We've got the best students here. Yeah. And they're all correct.
Yeah.
My experience was at Harrison Elementary with Sean DeWitt, the principal over there. And she spent the first 30 minutes with me, with us just getting to know each other. And we built a rapport and had some things in common. So that was nice to get to know her on kind of a personal level before she told me about her experience being a principal. And after we had spoken for maybe 15 or 20 minutes, I actually said the word culture to her. And I said, what you've described to me, and she called it her family of about 42 staff members. And I said, what you've described to me is the culture that you wanted for this place when you walked in. Because each principal, obviously, and each teacher alone is going to build their own culture in their room, their own culture in their school. And she said, that's exactly what I did and what I was encouraged to do. And that is a strong word, has always been a strong word to me in my job and in my company, because we all lead better if we lead together. So I was just impressed with her ability to lead, her leadership skills that she basically described to me in telling me who she was and how her school functioned. And she told me a few of, you know, the not so great stories that happen. And I appreciated that. It's not, you know, she wasn't there to paint this beautiful picture for me of how perfect being a principal is. And so I appreciated her being candid about that. And then we spent the rest of the morning walking class to class. And I got to interact with the children in each class and watch the teachers instruct. And then she encouraged me to leave a note of encouragement to them on their door. And that's what I did for each one of them, and told them what I liked about their instruction or about their classroom or whatever. And the teachers all greeted me with, hi, how are you? Well, you know, you're our principal for the day. How's it going? So it was a tremendous experience. So I want to compliment your leaders out there. They're doing their job well. And then I'll follow that by saying we went to lunch with all of you, and you two were there too. And we all got to have lunch with each other. And the energy in that room, did you guys feel it?
Yes.
So you've got a bunch of community leaders, and then you've got your leaders in the room, your Springfield Public School leaders. And they, just even sitting at my table with Sean and the different other principals that were there and the other community people who were there, the conversations we had were so uplifting and so encouraging that I have to think that this program, it will lead our community to understand better of what our educators are doing, what our school board is doing. Danielle, I've seen you on the news a lot lately. Because it's a big deal to the public, to the press, of what is going on in our schools. So I think that we
As it should be.
And we all need a better understanding of that as just being community leaders, right?
Right.
So I wanted to share my opinion of all of that and what a great job you guys are doing leading your organization.
What I find often is that, especially for individuals who don't have children, the last time they were in a middle school was in middle school, right? Or elementary school, high school. And things change over the years, as you all experienced.
Yeah.
And what I have really admired about Dr. Lathan's leadership is she's saying, hey, our schools are open. This is part of our community. Come in and see these things
I love
that we're doing. And to your point, in any organization, there's room for improvement. Mm-hmm. We're not perfect.
Absolutely.
There's 24,500 students. We're not perfect.
Yeah.
But Dr. Lathan is leading our district in the right direction. Yeah. And you probably saw that when you came in and we were principal for a day.
Yes.
Yeah.
I did. Yeah. What a great collaboration, and I hope that this program continues and it continues to grow. How many did you say this last time?
55 sites.
55 sites.
Including our choice programs, yes.
Okay, and how many total sites do you have?
We have the 55.
So every site was covered.
Okay. The only difference that we want to make for the fall is we do need to have Fly SPS, which is our airport location, for our students. So that was brought up. Oh, we want that to be a stop. So we will add that in the fall as one of the locations for someone to be a part of that.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, you know, you mentioned the lunch, and while being in the school was a great experience, I loved the part where you brought us all together, mm-hmm. and we all got to talk about what our experience was like, and I'm wondering if there's a lot of, do you just tell the principals, hey, you're going to be shadowed for a couple of hours and not give them a whole lot of direction in terms of that?
So here's the thing, what's so funny about it. Number one is our principals last year, when I mentioned it, they were not on board. Let me just be honest. Okay.
Another task.
So that's why in March, we rolled it out to, like I say, 6 to 8 campuses. It's like, uh-huh. okay, let me get some daredevils out here. Yeah. They're willing to try it.
Yeah.
And so then they tried it. So, and they shared with their peers in May at one of our principal meetings about how it went. And so then the fall, we just shared with them, make sure that you cover these things. Make sure, like I said, you introduce yourself. Make sure you tell them about your campus. Mm-hmm. Make sure you show them around. Mm-hmm. We also said, don't try to shy away from a crisis that might occur on the campus. Sure. Let them see it in action. Mm-hmm. And so those were the parameters basically that we gave her, the suggestions. But everything else was up to the principals to be themselves. We told them, you know, be yourselves.
Yes.
Let them get to know you as a leader. But I think it's so important, not only as a superintendent, but like I said, being a former principal, for community members to get to know and see what we do. What I found most impressive, not only in October when we did it, but also this in February, is that we had some of our business leaders that are parents. And some of them were actually a principal for a day at their own school. Uh-huh. See, as a parent, you're going in as a parent. Uh-huh. And they were able to see the things, all the multiple things that a principal does. Like you said, at the very beginning of the school day, you're dealing with student absences, staff absences, might be a bus situation, something happens in the cafeteria. Mm-hmm. So that was exciting to hear the share out last fall from some of the parents, like I said, community leaders that are parents.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah.
I bet that's an interesting perspective.
Yes.
What is the takeaway? What have you learned in these experiences so far that the community is taking from this? And are you getting the return that you're hoping for yet?
Yes. Number one return is people truly trying to model. Like I said, we are to model transparency, model that our schools are open, that we believe in bringing community leaders in. Mm-hmm. I will tell you the benefits of this are partnerships that have been formed as a result of those community leaders being out at our schools. Some of our elementary campuses are Title I campuses, so a high number of students coming from homes of poverty. Mm-hmm. Bowram Elementary School is an example. Last week, we had one of the partners, one of the community leaders that had participated in Principal for a Day. They brought shoes in for students, and because the principal shared, here are some challenges with my campus, on my campus, here are things that I'm dealing with, I have to go find and locate with various partners these. So they brought in shoes. Another group provided school supplies last fall, or items around the holiday time. And so, but it really wasn't about partnerships. It was about getting for people to get to see our schools and to see, like I said, the positive things that are happening, but also the challenges that we're dealing with. As a result of that, partnerships were formed.
Yeah. That's awesome. And what a great side effect, right? From all of this, because I learned a lot at the end of the luncheon. You shared that, you know, there were different ways to be involved. And I don't know that it would have occurred to me as a business owner to go to a principal and say, hey, do you need any? I've got Glendale's right down the street from, like, a block away from my office. Would I have thought to go walk in the door and say, do you need anything?
Right.
You know, how can we help? Because you're training the people that are eventually going to work for us.
That's right.
And we need to see what's going on there. And we need to make sure if we can have input and some kind of back and forth conversation about what we need as business leaders and what we need in our businesses, because it's scary out there right now in terms of not having the types of individuals that with the right skill set for us to hire.
No, that's so true. I think you heard at the during the share out, our mayor talk about observing at one of our elementary schools the lessons around character. Mm-hmm. And so that's so important. Like you said, you think about the future workforce, the type of people that will be available to enter into the jobs is we want people of character. Mm-hmm. We want people to have the skill set to do the job, but we also want people that can build relationships and know how to communicate with people. So it's extremely important. And that's another key of having community leaders partner with us to share with us the expectations of what they expect from a workforce and the skill set. And the training, and then, you know, opportunities for either our teachers or our students to participate in job shadowing. Mm-hmm. So our teachers to participate is exciting. So they know, okay, as I'm teaching this particular standard tied to the Missouri Learning Standards, this is how it plays out in action in a particular workplace. And then for our students to have those opportunities, we know that, you know, in high school or middle school, you might say, I want to be this, I want to do this. But they might have, if they have an opportunity to participate in a job shadowing experience or an internship experience, they might see that they love it, they want to continue with that, or they might be open to seeing other opportunities. And so that's the reason also to be able to partner with community leaders and business leaders.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. So kind of shifting gears here, I want you to, and both of you can do this, I want you to toot your horn. I want you to tell our listeners that might not know, so we've all shared an experience that we experienced with being principal for a day and what the outcomes are for that. But tell us, since you've been in Springfield, Dr. Lathan, what has happened in Springfield Public Schools? And Danielle, I want you to give your insight too. What's happened in the last few years that you've both been involved heavily in the structure, maybe the restructure? I've heard you speak before, Dr. Lathan, and you went into some of those details. And it was very interesting for me to hear your perspective of the things that you maybe wanted to come in and not necessarily change, but bring to Springfield, bring your ideas from where you had worked before. Mm-hmm. So share some of your wins, your victories, and or maybe not victories yet. Maybe they haven't come to fruition yet.
Well, I'm most proud, and then I'll let our board president share, but most proud that we have a new strategic plan, and I'll let her share about the strategic plan. Most proud that we were able last April to for our community to approve a bond, 77% approval rating. Yeah. That's major.
That's huge.
And the largest in district history, and I believe state history, the $220 million bond. And just even with the strategic plan, the approval of the bond, it's due to the support of our school board. Yeah. Because when you set a vision as a superintendent based on that strategic plan, you want to be able to implement your plan. Another thing I'm proud of is our SPS University, which is something that previously, in previous districts, I called it Parent University. But going back to June of 2021, my first town hall, you know, you had community members talking about the lack of transparency in the district and how we were not open, how we were not inclusive of the community. And so we branded SPS University. So everyone would know it's not only open to parents, but also the community. We host that three times a year. In fact, our last one will be coming up in March. And we host it at a high school, so really for parking and space. It opens up with dinner. Community resource fair. We then move into a general session, and then parents and community members are able to attend breakout sessions. Those breakout sessions involve board members. It involves district personnel leading courses. Involves chamber representatives presenting about the economy, things that are happening in Greene County and also Springfield. I'm excited that we have been able to start addressing our achievement gaps and our achievement performance. It's really about performance. Over the past several years, pre-COVID, we started to see a decrease in academic achievement. But with the support of the board to restructure and to put some key positions in place as it relates to oversight of our campuses, we're starting to make a turn. We also reorganized our curriculum department. Most people call it academics, but it's our curriculum and academics team. And so we were able to align strategic positions to be able to not only write curriculum, but to provide professional development and coaching for our principals and our teachers. I'm going to stop because I get excited.
excited about the different things.
I told you. Yeah.
Get excited. But it's really about the team. It is really not one person. I'm the leader, but I have an outstanding team surrounding me and working with me so that we can make a difference.
Yeah, awesome. I can echo everything that she said, and I know she can go on and on, as she should, because we have an amazing district. People, I think, are surprised to know that we are the largest district in the state. And with that comes some unique challenges, but also unique opportunities. So Fly SPS, we already referenced, other community partnerships that have expanded over the last few years. The Alliance for Healthcare, huge. Mm-hmm. And so seeing those increases with community partnerships, with business partnerships, what that ultimately does is set our students up for success. Not every student is going to thrive in a traditional school setting. So the more opportunities that we can provide to our students, the more success stories we're going to see. As Dr. Lathan mentioned, our new strategic plan, quite a process. We have seven very strong personalities on the board, which is fantastic to have different perspectives. But trying to get seven very strong personalities to reach an agreement can be challenging, but we did. We did that with the strategic plan. We did that with the bond, which I think led to its success, the 77% of voters who passed it. With that bond, we also see safety and security measures that have been implemented in every single one of our school buildings. So it has just been fantastic. We, again, still room for improvement, still room for growth, but being the largest district in the state, it takes time.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's a great point to make, because we deal with people who are moving to our area all the time, and that is something that most people don't know, that we are the largest school district, public school district in the state, and they obviously think of Kansas City and St. Louis, but those are on different systems, I guess is the way you put that. You mentioned something, Dr. Lathan, that you know, it's a team concept. You have people, you are the leader, just like when we understand that it's so funny how it's not funny. It's just interesting how closely it correlates to what we do, you know, because you're running a business that is, and we're doing the same. And it starts with the leadership. But in terms of getting those right people around the table, the right people on your team, has that been a challenge? We have challenges in our workplace with hiring the right people, like I mentioned. Is there a teacher shortage? And is it a challenge to get the right people there?
It's always a challenge to get the right people when you're building a team. So it's a challenge because you want to make sure that you get the right people, but you want to make sure that you can develop people and that you can coach them. So there are times when you choose certain members of your team that some might be highly experienced, others might be novice, all right? But you want to be able to coach them. As it relates to, is there a teacher shortage? There are some areas, or when you think about areas or subject areas, where there's a shortage. For example, special education is a prime example. We, not only us as a district, but a number of school districts need special education teachers. You need people, teachers that can provide those supports for students that have an IEP or individualized education plan. And so you definitely want to do that. As we think about retention of teachers and educational personnel, it's difficult. You know, COVID made it difficult. And as a result of COVID is are some of the challenges that students are dealing with, emotional challenges and I say social adjustment challenges. And you think about all the time and amount of time we all spent at home. And for most of us as adults, so we were at home, but we were working and we were constantly online and still really interacting with people a lot. Our students that were learning online at home, it was only a certain amount of time per day, right? And it varied from district to district across the country. And so those social interactions that they were used to, those went away. And, you know, there was not a lot of playing outside or going over for sleepovers and birthday parties. A lot of that went away. So you think about it, for almost a year and a half to 2 years for some children, they lost that time. And so we're trying to not only recover that lost learning time, but recover the lost social skills or social interaction times also. I think people forget that part.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're right about that.
And attendance, too.
Yes.
Because
yes.
we were telling students,
yes.
stay home.
Right.
You're right. Yes. Saying, no, no, yes. no. Come back. Next. Come
yes.
back.
Yeah.
Right. And that's why I know that the focus this year has been, one of the focuses has been on attendance.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, yeah. it has been. Thank you for that reminder. But you're right. We did tell everyone to stay home. And now we're saying, come back to school. Come back to school. But there is a focus on attendance. What people might not know is that, you know, we receive funding based on attendance, not enrollment, but attendance. And I know some people are like, I can't believe that, you know, that's the focus. But that focus, as you think about the monies that come in, your revenue, all of that ties into being able to, for the expenditures that we need to expand in the district. That's salary and compensation, capital improvements, books, computers, everything that we need to purchase. Once again, the things you purchase on supplies as a business, we purchase supplies also.
Well, that directly correlates with their success as well.
Yes.
You can't be successful if you're gone 25% of the year.
Right.
If you don't show up.
That's right.
And we just had a conversation very recently with a mental health professional about what COVID did to our mental health, and all of that plays a part in that. And I'm sure getting those kids back in the buildings and making sure they understand the importance of attendance. And there's just, it affected all of us in ways we may not know for a long time.
It really did. And, you know, we did not have time to prepare for it. You know, we prepare for spring breaks, summer breaks. We prepare that for that in school. And we know that, you know, there's an end. This, we went home and we didn't come back and for months and sometimes for a year at a time. So it was different. It was really different.
Danielle, so I think you're going to run for school board again here coming up soon, correct?
April 2nd.
Okay.
Yes. Okay. I'm already running, but
So we talked about this when we recorded our first podcast with you, which was about trusts, estates, wills. What do you do? Mm-hmm. What should you do? Mm-hmm. And you told us in that interview about why you got involved in SPS to begin with. So tell our listeners that might not have heard that. That podcast, why did you get involved, and what makes you want to be a board president?
Sure. So I'll take off my board president hat.
For a moment. Okay.
Just put on my Danielle hat. Okay. As an individual here. As you all know, I didn't grow up in Springfield. Springfield is my chosen home. I intentionally moved back here after law school. I attended undergrad and graduate school here, and I truly love Springfield. But when I moved back, I didn't want to just be living in this community. I wanted to be part of the community. And I wanted to make the home that I love a better place to live. So I served on boards. I served on the SPS Foundation board. And during that time, we had a board retreat, and our executive director, Natalie Murdoch, had us write down the boards that we were on and did we see a common theme. And in everything that I had done since moving back to Springfield, I saw that the theme was children and education. And so the Board of Education seemed like the natural next step to make a difference. So I'm finishing my third year on the board. One of our newest board member, Judy Bruner, who has a background in education, has said there was nothing that could have prepared her for stepping up to the board, even though she had taught in the district for for a long time. And it is like drinking through a fire hose. You just think of the experience that Dr. Lathan has to come and run our district. And as a board member, not having any of that background, I'm not a teacher, I'm not in education, stepping on, and there's only seven of us, there's a lot of learning that goes on, and I'm still learning. 3 years is not a lot of time to just jump into that role, but that's what practically every board member is asked to do.
That's what you have to do.
Well,
we commend you for your work.
Well, I am truly honored to serve on the board. It is amazing. You guys saw a glimpse of it, right? From principal for a day. But looking at the highlights of our district, understanding the challenges, just like you do in your own business. But looking at the highlights, going to graduation and handing out diplomas, going into the classroom and seeing the amazing things that our teachers do each and every day, and seeing our students' faces light up when they reach a goal that they've set or reached an achievement or won a game. Mm-hmm. It's amazing.
It is. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. One thing that I think we're getting better and better about is we have to keep kids in school. What are their interests? Like, I got to see a class of kids who are learning to ride bikes, mm-hmm. and people think, somebody might think out there might think, well, what does that have to do with education? But the pride that they saw, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. I mean, they're in middle school and they never learned how to ride a bike at home or when they were young. Mm-hmm. And now they're learning how to ride a bike. Not only are they learning how to ride a bike, though, they're learning how to maintain that bike. What goes into having something that is your own that you have to take care of and do maintenance on and archery and just things that, mm-hmm. of course, I grew up in this little bitty little town and we didn't have anything. So
it's also learning additional skills. It's learning problem solving skills. Yes. And that I can set a goal and it may mm-hmm. take time, but I can achieve that goal if mm-hmm. I set a plan in place.
Right. Right.
It's those things that as employers we want
absolutely.
To see.
Yeah. Absolutely. And then following through with that, not giving up.
Yes.
Getting back on the bike again, mm-hmm. you know, metaphorically.
Yes.
Just, you know, and just, you got to find something that reaches that child, and it could be any plethora of things. It's mm-hmm. not going to be just English or math or, you know, that's not enough to keep me engaged mm-hmm. and feel good about what I'm learning. So,
which is also why I love all of our choice programs. So because we are such a large district, we have the opportunity to have choice programs so that if a student's interested in agriculture, mm-hmm. they can attend the Ag Academy and mm-hmm. they're going to be more involved and interested, which means they're going to learn better.
Right. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And probably be more successful in their life.
That's yes. right.
Right. Because mm-hmm. they're learning something that makes them happier, brings them joy.
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm.
So on that note, name some of the other, what do you call them? Some of the other areas of interest that Springfield Public Schools, as you get older, and I think you're starting it in middle school, starting to introduce different kinds of jobs and employment ideas and what children would be interested in as a career.
So we have our choice programs that starts introducing students to various choice programs as early as fourth grade.
Okay.
Now the platform that you're referring to in our middle schools is Naviance. Or Naviance, they'll get me later, so a certain way you say it, but it is a career interest platform that we utilize with our middle and high school students. And so we introduce it grade by grade. So as students move up throughout their grades, they're able to be introduced and they have that information. So it exposes them to careers, guest speakers, virtually, mm-hmm. opportunities to explore colleges and careers, because we want to make sure that students are exposed. Mm-hmm. And as they start preparing for high school, they can make a decision whether it's their neighborhood high school or if they want to attend, let's say, the IB program, which is International Baccalaureate at Central High School, or maybe they might be interested in teaching as a profession. So they might go to Hillcrest High School, mm-hmm. or they might be interested in health sciences, and you might see them at Glendale High School, or mm-hmm. leadership. You might see them at Kickapoo High School. Also, leadership, Parkview offers our Leadership Academy. So we have those different avenues, or they might be interested in learning online at high school through our lunch program. And our lunch program actually is a virtual school for kindergarten through 12th grade students.
Really?
Not only do we provide a virtual education for students in Springfield, but we actually partner with over 350 school districts across the state of Missouri.
Wow.
And so those districts that need a teacher, whether it's for one subject area or a child wants to be a virtual student full time, they have that opportunity to do that. We have performing arts at our elementary level. Let's see, health sciences at the middle school level. We have a program in partnership with Mercy. And that's another great thing you think about. You asked about what brought me to Springfield is just the various partnerships we have mm-hmm. with various partners in the community. Sharing, going back to Fly SPS, which is our private pilots program.
I shared that information and idea with Hal Higdon, the president, chancellor at OTC. And then he connected me with Premier Flight Center. And so we have that partnership between Premier, OTC, and SPS for those students. And it's 10 high school students. But you can share an idea in this community, you know, principal for a day, share mm-hmm. that idea with Matt Morrow in the chamber. And people just, they buy into it and they mm-hmm. want to partner. You know, I think about the Dar Family Foundation. They helped build the Ag Academy, which mm-hmm. is our choice program for our 4th through 6th grade students. Those are the type of partners you have here in Springfield, or we have here mm-hmm. in Springfield in Greene mm-hmm. County, and it makes it a great place. I think people would be surprised to know that we have high school students graduating from high school. They can graduate with an associate's degree from OTC.
That's amazing.
People might not even know that.
Yeah.
And it's free
yeah.
of charge.
Yes. Right. Agree. And I think we have heard other districts mm-hmm. are working towards that, mm-hmm. but I didn't know until you told us that Springfield already has mm-hmm. it in place.
Yes.
That's amazing.
It is.
The opportunity that our children have these days in school to prepare them for a career or for life, because if they're learning a skill while they're in high school, I would have given anything mm-hmm. to have had that direction mm-hmm. at my age, because I had no idea what I wanted to do with my life.
Right.
And struggled right. with, okay, well, I guess I'll do this because my parents told me to, and I hated right. it, you know? Mm-hmm. So I'm so proud that our children will have better guidance than what we had growing yeah. up. Mm-hmm. And that's only because of times. Times mm-hmm. change. It's not because things were worse back then. We were talking right. earlier mm-hmm. that we're glad that we didn't grow up with a cell phone mm-hmm. and our little rotary phone that we had to wait to get home and call our right. friends on it. Uh-huh. That yes. was, it was okay yes. to grow up in that time frame.
It was.
And to get a busy signal.
And to, yeah. and to right. call back in an hour.
Exactly.
And we're probably better humans because we grew up in that era, but it's just amazing the opportunities that our children will it have is. That we didn't, that will make them such better That's right. humans mm-hmm. and better prepared for their lives, mm-hmm. you know, so.
And one thing I think it will help also, we've long struggled with keeping our students here.
Yes.
You know, and it's, I've been serving on economic development boards for years, and it's always been a struggle. They come here, they get their education, they come to MSU, and then they got to go somewhere else, you know, because the opportunity's not here. Mm-hmm. But I can't help but think that these choice programs, introducing them to different things that they can do and do it locally, will help in that mm-hmm. regard.
Almost definitely. And, you know, one of the things we were wanting to do is partner with the Young Professionals, which is a group mm-hmm. That's also associated with the chamber. Because if you can tap into the Young Professionals and then, like you said, students that are at MSU and Drury and Evangel, that we can find ways for them to be engaged and to remain in the community. And that's the key also, mm-hmm. as they remain in the community and then those young professionals start having children mm-hmm. that they're tied in to Springfield Public Schools.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And staying here.
Yeah.
What would you both offer up as to listeners in your leadership learning? So we're all leaders, right, in our daily lives with our chosen professions, with your school board presidential role. What would you tell listeners the biggest learning takeaways have been from your leadership learning? And what are skills that you possess now that you could give as a recommendation for other leaders?
That's a big question.
It is a big question. It depends on the day of the week.
That's true. Yeah, and how you feel that morning.
Yeah.
Or what's happened, maybe.
For me, I'll go back. I still believe it's mentoring and support mm-hmm. For me as a leader, I think is extremely important to mentor and support. For me, I believe it's important to mentor young girls. Mm-hmm. I believe in being empowered, but to be an empowered leader, you need to empower others. Mm-hmm. And so for me, that's who I am as a leader, is trying to empower others, but definitely to focus on mentoring and helping young girls to see their full and reach their full potential.
Yeah.
It has been interesting. Some people, I believe, are just natural leaders, and they have that yes. skill set. I believe those individuals also have room for growth and opportunity to learn. Yes. It has been interesting that finding mentors in leadership positions, and also taking a step back and saying, okay, where can I learn from this? Mm-hmm. But also, and I have a very close women friend group, and we always talk about imposter syndrome, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Are we sure I'm doing the right thing? Are we sure that I'm the right person in the right place? And just allowing yourself some grace and knowing that you're going to make mistakes along the way, but that's one way to learn how to do better in the future. Mm-hmm. So it has been an interesting road.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I just want to know, what's the future look like? What's the future of, this is going to be a big question too, what's the future of education? What changes do you see coming?
Well, I believe the future of education is, one of the things we have to be prepared to address is artificial intelligence. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's a big conversation and how school districts tackle it, how we tackle it as a community. I know there are a lot of unknowns and a lot of worries around it. Mm-hmm. So I think that's the biggest challenge is, things that probably were not accepted, definitely not accepted, probably all of us as we were going through our studies and, you know, receiving assistance to complete a paper and all that stuff, right? Mm-hmm. The technology that you can use now. So just being able to know, I guess, ethically, how to navigate artificial intelligence as it relates to public education and students' academic achievement, right? Mm-hmm. If they receive assistance, how do you grade that and score that? So for me, it's around, that's the next step that I'm ready to start conversating with my school board around is artificial intelligence.
Hint, hint, Danielle. Hint,
hint.
Go home and study up. Yep.
That's the future. Is it also the biggest threat?
Oh, yes, I definitely believe it's the biggest threat. It's just, like I said, and we know it's always been around. I just think as you see how things, it's just scary, the things that can be done with artificial intelligence. So I do believe that that's the biggest threat. The other threat still is around funding for public education or the lack thereof. Mm-hmm. I told a group of teachers and principals on Monday, I don't want another pandemic. Mm-hmm. You know, we were blessed, though, as a result of the pandemic to receive federal funds to be able to support some of our district needs. I don't want another pandemic to get us to that point. Right. Because wherever that money was that they were able to send to school districts, let's go continue to be able to do that. So that's the other threat is funding of public education.
Yeah. Is there any myth or rumor that you'd like to dispel that people just believe about school systems in general that you could say, it isn't this way and it isn't that way? And maybe there's not. That's kind of a random question.
It's not. For me, I would say as it relates to addressing myths and rumors is get all the facts before you post, tweet, all those different things that people do. And that know that sometimes, yes, things happen in life on a school campus. Yeah. And, you heard me say at the luncheon, if Jobs had to expose the number of things that happen on their campus, on their jobs or their places of work with their employees or different customers, public education, a lot of our stuff is exposed. We live it out in the limelight or publicly. But just to get all the facts and to know that not only I say myself, but I definitely know our Board of Education and all of our staff members, we wake up each day focused on making the world a better place for the children we serve. Yeah. So
I love that.
Yeah.
And I believe that.
Yeah.
I've seen you all at work and in action, various mediums, and it's amazing the job that you carry and all of the people who work under you and how you have to hold all of that together, Dr. Lathan. I respect that position highly. And you and your volunteering, I was thinking when you were talking about your 3 years of volunteering and not yet knowing everything, she and I spent 8 years-ish volunteering at our Board of Realtors, and you didn't know squat on year three. You were only dipping your toes in. And it was by the time that we led up to being president that we actually felt like we knew what we were doing. And then it was over when you really had something to offer. So not exactly the same, but I appreciate
it. Takes a long time to
appreciate that.
It does.
Yeah.
It really does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I you know, Dr. Lathan, I see you everywhere, which is fantastic. I want to thank you for volunteering your time to talk to realtors, because you have talked to our Leadership Academy class, yeah, and you'll be probably asked to do that again. Okay. You're a big hit.
Okay.
It starts at the top, and I think, just the leadership that you show, being involved in the community and mm-hmm. coming together and collaborating in partnerships. And for anybody out there who's interested in doing principal for a day, obviously we would highly recommend that.
Yes, thank you.
And you'll have another one in October then, with the next school year. So yeah, you're right. Get involved. All you have to do is spend a couple hours in one of our buildings and you'll come away a better person and much more knowledgeable.
So true.
Thank you both for being here today. It's been lovely to have you
that
conversation. We want to thank Gershwin Mortgage. Thank you, Jordan and Kate. And we'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to the Simply Authentic podcast. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram.
Be sure to listen to us on your favorite podcasting app.